message is by Pastor Mike Hammonds of Angleton First Assembly of God, located in Angleton, Texas. May the Lord bless you and speak to your heart as you listen.
Amen. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your word. And Lord, we ask your blessing, your anointing. God, let it stir in our hearts. Let us hear as if you are speaking to us. Father, help me to say what you would want to say. Help me to communicate your heart. Anything that's of me, let it be forgotten and left here. But anything that's of you, let it find a place to lodge in our spirit that we take it with us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. There's been a lot of responses out there to the inauguration of Joe Biden as President of the United States. And there's no way that I can let this first Sunday after the inauguration go by without addressing that. So we're going to talk about that. Title of the message is My Response to the Biden Presidency. My response. Now, if you like my response and you want to adopt that as well, that's you. But I'm just telling you, this is my response. There's been a lot of different responses. Some have responded this way. It ain't done yet. Just wait and see. Something's coming. Have y'all heard that? You know what? Maybe. Maybe not. What if it is done for the next 4 years or however long he is in the seat before somebody else takes his place on the same team? What if it is done? What if America is going into a time of suffering and struggle? I know, I've heard the other side. I've heard the other voices. I'm for them. And I'm not actually saying that that's not it. I'm just saying maybe, maybe not. Here's what I know. God is working right now on behalf of America. But you don't know exactly what he knows and what he's doing in order to get us where he's going to get us. And you may think you know what needs to happen for him to get us where he needs to get us, but he knows more than we do. And so we're going to trust God regardless of what happens. Some have responded this way. Yeah, it's over. But he's not my president. If you're here, you're watching, that's your, I get that. I get that. But I'm just going to tell you, this is my response to the Biden presidency. He's my president. Regrettably, he's my president. What do you mean regrettably? It means I didn't vote for him. It means I'm not glad about it. I'm not happy. But I'm not going to do as some have done when Trump was president and go and grab hold of their antics. He's not my president. I'm a citizen of the United States. He's the president of the United States. Connect the dots. He's my president. I've already addressed this in a post, but I want to say it here as well. I want you to understand where I'm at. I cannot in good conscience say congratulations to Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. Congratulations. Hope you do well. Congratulations is a word of pleasure. It's a word of approval. I don't approve of their agenda. I don't approve of the platform they represent. I'm not pleased with the way and the direction they're going to lead this country. I'm not pleased with much of what has happened in the last of 3 or 4 days. So I can't in good conscience say congratulations just out of habit, because that's the thing we say to people who win. So he is my president, but I'm not glad about that. There has also been this response, and I can't get here either. There have been those that have commented like, They're sad. It's a sad day in America. I think I might have said that in my live stream on Wednesday. I'm not sure. It's a sad day in America. And somebody came back and said, why is it a sad day? God's on the throne. It's not a sad day. It doesn't matter. I get that. But I don't think we need to shoot down those who feel like maybe it's a sad day. Here's what I put in my notes. Some have this idea that if you have any sadness or remorse at all, you're not believing God anymore. You're not trusting God anymore. You've stopped trusting. You don't have faith anymore because you see a sad day, and this is the day the Lord has made. Be glad and rejoice in it. I get that. But how many of you know When you lose a loved one, you can still have faith. You can still have hope. You can still trust God. But there's going to be some remorse. There's going to be some sadness. See, we don't sorrow as those that have no hope, but we do sorrow in a different way. Church, for me, Wednesday was like a death. So for me, there is a little mourning. There is a little grief. It doesn't mean that I don't trust God. It just means that I liked what we had and I don't want to see it go different. Go different. Is that good English? Why not? I don't want to see my children, my grandchildren by faith, grow up and not have what I had. That's a natural thing. It doesn't mean that I've turned my back on God. So for me, the inauguration was painful. Knew it was coming, right? The election was in November. So we knew what was going to happen. But just like when you've had a loved one in the hospital, and maybe they're connected to machines, maybe they're on hospice, and you kind of know what's happened and what's going to happen. You know it's coming. It's inevitable. Death is close. And so there's sadness, but there's this tinge of hope. But then on the day that they take their last breath, there is still a sting, even though you knew it was coming. There is still a added pain and a sting of reality. So it may take a little time to process, to adjust. When a family, when a couple goes through a divorce, you can't go, hey, why are you sad? God's still on the throne. Could you imagine if you were that person, every time somebody's having a bad day, they've lost somebody, they've lost a loved one, they go through something traumatic, and they call you and you go, hey, have a good day, God's on the throne. Weep with those that weep, hurt with those that hurt, and understand that there may be a little bit of a process, but church, we do have to get through that process and trust God and know that God is still working behind the scenes. So, that's a little bit where I'm at, but let me give you my response. I want to give you this statement first. I want to kind of hinge everything on this statement right here. We'll put it on the screen for you. Christianity is more than a set of beliefs. Christianity is a way of life. Church, we have 16 fundamental truths. We have 4 cardinal doctrines. We believe stuff, right? The Baptists down the street, well, they moved over there, they believe stuff. The Methodists around the corner, they believe stuff. And we believe most of the same stuff when it comes to the essentials, but we got some differences of belief in some areas, and it's okay. But Christianity is not about just what you believe. It's a way of life. We are followers of Jesus. We live by his teachings. Christianity is more than going to church. Christianity is more than being nice. Being kind. How many of y'all think it's good to be kind and good to be nice? As Christians, we ought to be kind. But Christianity is more than that. I saw a meme the other day. It just comes to mind now, and it just shows some people sitting on the bench, and the caption said, "It doesn't matter about right and wrong. Love is the main thing." Love is the main thing, but you can't throw right and wrong out the window. Go to the love chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. It tells you all about love. And one thing it says is that love rejoices in the truth. And truth is about what is right and what is wrong. Love gets happy with truth. So if we're going to talk about it's all about love, yes, it is. But love and truth go together. They cross the finish line together. They both win. You can't push truth aside and just say love wins. Love wins with truth because it's all part of the same thing. Right and wrong do matter. So Christianity is more than just believing that Jesus existed and that he died. Yes, it believes that. But Christianity involves obedience to what Jesus taught. It involves surrender. You, as a follower of Jesus, do not get the privilege of doing whatever you want. saying whatever you want. How many of you have gone to say something and then the Lord checked you and you refrained? How many of you, the Lord checked you and you let it out anyway, the flesh won that time? Don't raise your hand. I get it. I've been there. How many of you have typed your response to the post and it felt good and then you got ready to hit send and then you thought better of it, Spirit of God checked you, and you deleted it? That's good. We don't have the privilege to just do what we want to do whenever we want to do it. We are followers of Jesus. We are to be led of His Spirit. So again, I'm just kind of building some groundwork here. My response to the election has to be determined by Scripture. How would God want me to respond to the election? That's how I need to respond. How does God want you to respond? That's how you need to respond. Now, maybe He wants you to respond this way, but you're still over here, where you're going to have to crucify the flesh and get your response in line with what He wants you to do. Am I right? So far, so good? We can't do what we want to do just because we don't approve of the guy that's there or the gal that's there. So since my guy didn't win, since my ticket didn't win, I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to do that. You don't have that luxury. You have to do and follow Scripture regardless. So my response to the Biden presidency, three things. And I'm going to encourage that this be your response as well. Number one, I'm going to continue to worship the one true God. I think we can all get on that one, right? See, God reigns above all of this. Let me give you a little bit of Scripture. We'll probably spend most of our time on this one. Psalm 34, verse 1. We looked at this one, I think it was last week or the week before. Psalm 34, verse 1. The psalmist said, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise will continually be in my mouth. Yeah, it was last week. I shared the story of one of the counselors I had met at a camp, summer camp, one of our youth camps many years ago. She was radically saved, came out of the drug war, just turned head over heels, upside right, in love with Jesus. And she was, praise the Lord this, praise the Lord that, glory, hallelujah, blessed be His name, all the time. I'm not shooting that down, but you couldn't have a conversation with her without all of that, just interjected all throughout there. I'm going to go to lunch, hallelujah, going to get the burrito, praise the Lord, and I'm going to eat it, glory to God, with a glass of milk, blessed be His name. And she told me, she's trying to live this verse. She said, I've been working on that Psalm 34:1. It says, His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Again, not shooting that down. It's not me. But I think what this verse is telling us is His praise is going to continually be in our mouth. On a bad day, His praise is going to be in our mouth, just like it is on a good day. On a Sunday day, we're going to praise Him. When the bills are paid, we're going to praise Him. When things are going well, we're going to praise Him. When I get the raise and the promotion, I'm going to praise Him. When I don't get the raise and the promotion, I'm still going to praise Him. When storms roll in, I'm going to praise Him. Because my praise doesn't hinge on the condition, on the situation. My praise doesn't hinge on the climate and the atmosphere. My praise doesn't hinge on who wins the presidency. My praise will be in my mouth continually. I will bless the Lord at all times. My worship doesn't change with the weather. There may be some storms coming our way. I can assure you there are. But one thing that I'm going to do is continue to worship the one true God. How important is this? Let's talk about the first commandment, the two great commandments, and the second temptation. The first commandment, found in Exodus chapter 20, verses 2 and 3, says this: I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. And here it is, the first commandment: you shall have no other gods before me. There are no other gods. Gods are not created equal. There is the greater than God, capital G, and then there's all the other so-called pretend, fake, false gods. Not one amen. I'm going to trust somebody watching by live stream said amen. There is one true God, and the first of 10 commandments is you shall have no other gods before me. And before he gave that commandment, he said this, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of slavery. How many of you, when you gave your heart to Jesus, came out of slavery, came out of a bondage? You all did. We came out of slavery to sin. We came out of a bondage to sin. Even if you were a good person, so to speak, I didn't do drugs, I didn't do this, I didn't do that, you were still in bondage to sin. And he is the one who brought you out of that, and there shall be no other gods before him. The First Amendment, there are 27 amendments in our documents for the United States of America. The First Amendment is freedom of speech. And that is under attack. But while I'm concerned about that, I want to make sure and be more concerned about the First Commandment than I am the First Amendment. So while my freedom of speech may be under attack, I'm going to continue to worship one true God. Now that was the Old Testament, the first of 10 commandments. Jesus came back in Matthew chapter 22 and he said, listen, all the law and all the prophets, everything they said, I'm going to sum it up for you, make it a little easier for you. Aren't you glad for easier? Matthew chapter 22, verses 37, 38, 39. Jesus said this. This is the 10 commandments, boiled down to two. Number one, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. When you go to the Old Testament, you'll see that there were 10 commandments. If you look closely at them, you'll see that there were 6 of them that dealt with man's relationship to God. Love the Lord thy God. Don't take his name in vain. I said 6. There's 4 that dealt with the relationship men to God. The other 6 dealt with relationship men to men. Don't steal. Don't kill. Don't covet. So 4 of the commandments were vertical commandments, the way we treat God. 6 of the commandments were horizontal commandments, the way we treat men. I always think of the vertical beam, the horizontal beam of the cross. When you see the cross, think of the vertical commandments and the horizontal commandments. We sum it up this way at Angleton First Church. Love God, love people. That's the 10 commandments in brief form. Love God, love people. And then in Luke chapter 5, chapter 4, verses 5 through 8. This is the temptations that Jesus faced in the wilderness. This is the second one. The devil led Jesus to a high place, showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world, and he said to him, I will give you all their authority and splendor. It has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want. If you worship me, it will all be yours. And Jesus answered and said, it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Notice the enemy wanted to give Jesus something in exchange for his worship. And the enemy wants to do the same thing with you. If you'll not make God the center of your life, you probably can get something in exchange for that. Did you know that? You know, there are some things that I can't get because of my worship for the Lord and him only. There are certain things that we can't do because of our worship to the Lord and him only. We serve him and him alone. Amen. So the first thing in my response to the Biden presidency, I'm going to continue to worship the one true God. Are we all good there? Number 2 out of 3. I'm going to continue to pray for the leaders of our nation. I prayed for President Trump. I'm going to pray for President Biden. Now, I'm not going to pray the same way for anybody. It depends on the need, right? Let's go to the 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. I'm going to give you a scripture for each one of these, and this is the one I want to use here. Paul said to Timothy, I urge you that petitions, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings, and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. Now, we don't have kings like they did. Our leader is known as a president. So the principle here is to pray for leaders in our nation. I'm going to continue to pray for our nation. I'm going to continue to pray for the not just the president and the vice president, governors, mayors. Where you think, well, I don't like what he's doing. Then he probably needs prayer more. Think it through. Well, I don't like what he's doing. I'm not praying for him. I thought it was a spiritual battle. Shouldn't you pray even more so? And it says, pray that you might live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. What it's saying is that the decisions your leaders make trickle down and affect the way you live life. So you better be praying for them because their decision's going to affect you. So really, it's kind of a self-serving thing. Pray for them that it go well with you. So yes, I'm going to pray for President Biden. Let me read verse 3. Verse 1 and 2 basically says, pray for your leaders and pray for those in authority. Verse 3 says, this is good and pleases God. Why would you pray for the president? It's good and it pleases God for you to do so. Doesn't matter if you approve or disapprove of the leader. It doesn't matter if you approve or disapprove of the policy they promote. All the more reason you should pray if you disapprove. Church, I don't like some of the mandates that have come down. Let me show you this. Let me unfold it. This is my mask. I hate the mask. I wear the mask. I just don't like the mask. This actual mask, I don't want to get too long on it, but this mask here, I've done some research on this one. This is a surgical mask. It's good in a certain atmosphere, a certain climate, certain situation, and it's good for 20 to 30 minutes. No, that's what the research says. It's good for 20, 30 minutes. This has been in my pocket about 4 weeks. I need to change it out, so I will do that. Right after church, I'm going to change that out. I don't like the mandate. I'm a pastor, so I got to stay in my lane. Now, I will hug the rails at times, right? I might drop a tire off the road every now and then, but I try to stay in my lane. And when it comes to cooperating with leaders and things like that, I do. But now I'm at a place, if I look at the door and I don't see a sign, I don't put it on. If I see a sign, I put it on. And I walk in, I see others don't have it on, I take it off. I'm just kind of going with the flow a little bit. The mandate could come. You're going to wear one all the time, 24/7 in your backyard. If y'all home by your, you know, that's been said. Now, if I'm by myself in my backyard, I don't see it happening. But if I see a drone flying over my head, I'm putting it on. If I see my neighbor sticking his head over the fence, I'm going to go, hey, neighbor. We're going to go to home improvement days. Let that go if you don't know what we're talking about there. You know what? Nobody likes mandates. Parents, you've given mandates to your children. They didn't like it. They did it. They just didn't like it. Mandates. I want to tell you something. Praying for your leaders is a mandate from God. It ain't a mandate from a governor, a leader. It's a mandate from God Himself. So we're going to pray for our leaders. We're going to pray for our country. That's what we should do. And let me just tell you, when I say pray, if you're out there and you're going, yeah, I'm going to pray for him. Pray he'll get hit by a truck. No, we're not praying that. No, we're not praying that at all. I don't think Jesus wants you to pray they get hit by a truck. What car? Don't matter. No, we're going to pray for the well-being of people. We're going to pray for the well-being. God's not willing that any should perish. What if this man, this woman, this leader, whoever it is, needs a relationship with God? And God's not willing that any should perish. And here you are refusing to pray for their well-being. Pray for their health. I don't want anybody to suffer and die. I know when some on the right have died, people on the left have celebrated. Totally wrong. And I can assure you that if somebody on the left dies, there will be some on the right that will celebrate as well. Totally wrong. The Bible says this, rejoice not when your enemy falls. If we can't even rejoice when he falls, do you think the Lord would be pleased with us if we rejoice at their death? Pray for their well-being. I am not praying for his success. Don't misunderstand me. I am not praying for the success of Joe Biden's administration. If he succeeds, more babies are aborted. That decision's already been made, church. But there's more decisions to come. If he succeeds, we're going further down a dark road. So I'm not praying for the success of his legislation, but I'm praying for him. I'm praying that God would touch a leader's heart, and as he would steer the river, that he would steer their decisions. I'm praying that God would put wise men around them. I'm praying for godly counsel. I'm praying for God to visit the Oval Office and just to show up. Pray for your leaders. It's not the same one-size-fits-all prayer. So we got to pray for our leaders. So number one, I'm going to continue to worship the one true God. Number two, I'm going to pray for the leaders of our nation. You know what? Before I go to number three, stand up with me. Why don't we take a moment right now? Let's pray for our nation. Let's pray for the new administration. Let's just do that together. Father God, right now, in the name of the Lord Jesus, I want to lift up Joe Biden. I lift him, his wife Jill, up to you, that you would give them what they need most. Father, you know them best. You know where they are in relationship with you. You know what they need in that area. Father, I pray for their well-being. I pray for their health. God, I pray for Kamala Harris, her family. I pray for others. I pray for other leaders. God, I pray for the wicked in Jesus' name that they would come to know you. I pray for those that are making horrible decisions to have an encounter with you. God, I pray that you by your Spirit would steer their heart as you would a river and have it go your direction. God, I pray that they would make decisions that would be good for America. I pray that you would use them to answer our heart's cry for revival in this nation. Father, we lift up our leaders. God, I pray for your sons and daughters that you have planted up there at Capitol Hill. God, that you use them in a strategic way. God, I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. You can be seated. So, I'm going to continue to worship the one true God. We're not going to let the storm clouds that are rolling in affect our worship. Number two, we're going to pray for the leaders of our nation and for our nation. And number three, I want to stand for truth at all costs. Even if it means standing alone. Ephesians chapter 6, I'm going to give you two verses for this one. Ephesians 6, verse 14, Paul said, "Stand firm with the belt of truth buckled around your waist and the breastplate of righteousness in place." The belt of truth around your waist. Number three, we're going to stand for truth at all costs. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 23 says this, "Buy the truth and do not sell it. Buy it, but don't sell it." In other words, do whatever you can to get it, and once you have it, don't let it go. Don't let go of the truth. You're going to be challenged to let go of the truth. There's going to be some things come your way that's going to challenge you to release truth in certain areas. The Bible says, buy it, don't sell it, hang on to it with all you got. The enemy is launching an all-out attack on truth, attacking the Bible, attacking God's sacred design for the family, sexuality, gender, and the list goes on. And this attack isn't brand new. It's just picking up. Amen? Isaiah said this. There's going to be a day when evil is going to be referred to as good, and good is going to be called evil. And God said through Isaiah, woe to people who do that. Woe to those who would call evil good and good evil. Church, we are in that day loud and clear. In that day, loud and clear. Evil is good, good is evil. I've joked for months now about living in the Twilight Zone. Most of that referred to the pandemic and the virus. But now, look at our political climate. We live in an upside-down world. Right is wrong and wrong is right. I want to go back to something and remind you. My very first Sunday to preach in 2019, I preached a message called, "What Do I See?" Now, in 2019, President Trump had been president for 2 years. Things were going on. What do I see? And I gave you three things on that message that I see. I want to recap what I told you briefly as what I saw coming in 2019. The first thing concerns the political climate of our nation. Infighting will continue and get worse. Our two major parties will oppose each other on pretty much every issue, and the media will add fuel to the fire by constantly feeding lies and misguided information to the public. Church, that's been happening. See, I've got more concerns of America being destroyed from within than without. I have said that for a number of years, and that's exactly what's going on. I went on to say this: the division in our nation will continue. The infighting will continue with even more aggression, producing more tension, hate, and violence. Double standards and hypocrisy will be even more glaring than they are now. So the political climate was the first thing I saw, just getting worse. The second thing that I told you that I saw, this is again 2019, was the moral climate of our nation, specifically the issue of sexuality. Immorality, particularly in the sexual arena, will continue to increase. This will have the potential to bring division even closer to your home. You may be put in the position of having to make a very difficult decision. You could be labeled and ridiculed for holding traditional standards. And I made mention that especially in the area of transgenderism, we're going to see this. Transgenderism will be in the spotlight, not homosexuality. Why not? Because homosexuality has already been normalized in America. You understand that. The next thing is transgenders. That will be normalized. As of a few days ago, our new president has made Assistant Secretary to the Health and Human Services, Dr. Rachel Levine. Have you seen Dr. Rachel Levine? Some of you may not even know what I'm talking about. Some of you are more in tune with it, but it is the first transgendered, Senate-confirmed federal official. We now have the first official transgender in political office at a national level. Well, Pastor, we got to love people. I do love people. Love rejoices in the truth. Number three, I purpose in my heart to stand for truth at all cost. Listen, one and two is not too hard, is it? Can you deal with worshiping God? Can you deal with praying for your leaders? You just did it. But what about number three? Can you stand for truth at all cost? See, we can't rewrite scripture for our family. We can't rewrite the scriptures for our preferences. The third thing that I shared with you on that message, and it was the one that actually concerned me the most of the three, the political climate, the moral climate, the sexuality, but the third one was the accommodation of the church and the growing disregard for the truth of God's word. Sadly, many in the church are swayed more by the experts than they are the word of God. Many are affected more by the culture than they are the spirit of God. Church, I don't trust the experts. Wow. I thought there was somebody else on board with me there. I'm struggling with some of the experts. I'm not saying they're all wrong. I'm not saying they have no value. I'm not saying they don't have a contribution, but I'm telling you, you have to do your own homework nowadays. Hey, I just watched the news. I'm going to the computer to check out and see what's true. I wish it wasn't that way. But you can't trust everything the experts are telling you because there's an agenda with a lot of the experts and there is a power working behind the experts. This is more of a spiritual battle than you know. And you better decide, are you going to hang on to God's word or not? Am I going to stand alone with truth or not? I went on in that message and I want to say this here again. You will feel more and more like an outsider and a misfit if you continue to embrace God's word as truth. Does anybody feel a little bit out of place in America now? You could be seen as out of touch and irrelevant and not with the times. Proverbs 23:23, buy the truth and sell it not. hang on to the truth. When I shared this on Wednesday, I gave a fourth point. Never bow to the culture. But I think it just kind of reemphasizes the third point. Stand for truth. Don't bow to the culture. I kind of see it like a seesaw, right? Stand for truth or bow to the culture. They go hand in hand. You know, there's a verse in James that says, submit to God and resist the devil. Well, as you submit to God, you resist the devil. As you quit resisting the devil, you're no longer submitting to God. So it's kind of, they work hand in hand. So if I stand for truth at all costs, that means I don't bow to the culture. I want to read Daniel 3, verse 18 to you. We read it last Sunday in a different message. This is the verse where the three Hebrew children are about to be thrown into the fiery furnace for not bowing down to Nebuchadnezzar and his images. And they told him, they said, you can throw us in the fire if you want. Our God will deliver us. And then in verse 18, chapter 3, Daniel says this, but even if he doesn't, your majesty may be sure that we will not worship your God. We will not bow down to the gold statue that you have set up. My God will deliver me, but if he doesn't, know this, I will not bow down to your God. Church, we can't bow down to the culture. I'm going to divert just a little bit because a lot of people are concerned about the vaccine. It could be the mark of the beast and this and that. Church, I have no say on the vaccine. This is Mike Hammond's talking. This is not a thus saith the Lord at all. I treat the vaccine kind of like I do a new restaurant in town. I don't run to it. I let others run to it, and then I wait and listen for feedback. And if they say it's good, then we run to it. If they say, eh, then we never go. So I'm kind of like that on the vaccine. The survival rate, I'm not in a high-risk category. I'm closer than I'd like to be. So I'm thinking I'm not going to run off and get the vaccine. I've heard all the different things. I want to put your mind at ease a little bit. And again, I'm not saying get it. I'm not saying don't get it. Some of you in here have already got it. Great. Some of you are, I'm never going to get it. Okay, fine. Just pray and let God lead you. I can tell you this. If they want to make you a zombie. Now, y'all chuckle, but that's out there. You get that vaccine, you're going to be a zombie. Now, I don't know if that's true or not. Y'all pray for your pastor. Pray for leaders and those in authority. They need help. Pray for me that it would go well with you. Church, if they want to do that, they would just go ahead and put it in the flu vaccine, I'm thinking. People already taken that one, right? I know. I'm against that one too, Pastor. That's fine. Let me repeat one more time. I'm not saying yay or nay. I'm saying don't live in fear and panic. Well, I think it's the mark of the beast. I can tell you this. You're not going to be tricked into the mark of the beast. I don't know what the mark of the beast is going to look like. I don't think it's going to be a tattoo of a six and a six and a six on your hand. But the mark of the beast is going to involve allegiance. It's going to involve you saying, I will bow down to a new God. And you're going to know what you're doing. You're going to make a decision. God's not going to let you be tricked. And you get in, and then you go to church, and somebody says, oh, man, I'm going to hell now. I got tricked. God pulled one over on me. Man, let me find where I'm supposed to be. I want to say this a little bit, because I know I ain't watching the inauguration speech. I got that, and some of you wouldn't have watched the inauguration speech if it was Abraham Lincoln. You're just not into watching that. It was a 22-minute speech. I watched it, not live, but later. I want to tell you something about the speech. I want to say more. Because there's those out there saying it's the best thing ever, like it topped the Gettysburg Address. No, it wasn't that. It wasn't a great speech. Wasn't a bad speech. Kind of a normal speech. The theme of the speech is what I want to address. The theme of the speech was unity. A statement was made in the speech, and I agree with this. Unity is the path forward. I agree with that. But church, I'm going to tell you something. There will never be unity between God's church and the world. Friendship with the world is enmity against God. The Bible tells us that. The Bible says don't be unequally yoked believers and unbelievers. The church and the world is like oil and water. They don't mix. It is impossible for unity to happen for the person that has been born again and has the Spirit of God in them versus the one who is just a natural person. It doesn't mean we can't get along. It doesn't mean we can't be civil. It doesn't mean we can't have humanity. We've done that for years. But there's going to be a limit to our unity. Amos 3:3, can two walk together unless they be agreed? The more your agreement, the further your journey goes. We are so not agreed between our two parties. Please don't get me wrong. I was about to say I'm not a Republican. Technically, I am, according to my registration. I think I need to change that. I am sick of the Democrats. I am tired of the Republicans. I am for Jesus. And I vote for the party. I vote for the platform that is closest to the Word of God that I can find. There's only two options, church. Maybe it's good and bad. Maybe it's bad and worse. If it's bad and worse, choose bad. Unity, it will not happen between the church and the world. Church, you are an obstacle. You are in the way. See, if we can't manipulate you with the narrative to get you to change your mind, then we will mandate some things. We will censor your speech and we'll make you get in line. There will be a little bit more pressure, but you're going to have to line up. But the thing is, like that old song, the world didn't give it to me. World can't take it away. God has put something in you that doesn't bow down. And that's going to be a problem for the administration. That's going to be an issue. I'm saying that, church, to say that there is a time of testing that is coming. It's already here. Sometimes it doesn't get to your house until a little later. Sometimes things hit the coast before they hit mid-America. Church, there's a few thousand people that lost their job a couple of days ago with a stroke of a pen. Maybe that's not affecting you directly, but it is going to affect you when you start filling up your car at the pump. And I'm not just talking about money stuff. The sanctity of life. There has been decisions made on that that makes abortion easier and more readily common. I'm talking about a number of things. The culture wants you to bow down and worship the gods of secular liberalism. Those who refuse will possibly be bullied, harassed, and threatened and banished from the public squares. I've got about a couple of pages of stuff that I'm not even going to get to today. We'll save it for another time. But some of the things that are coming out there and that are being put in print, some of the things that are being spoken about you, it is about you. Church, do you understand that, I shared this one last week, I believe, that it's not just, okay, we got rid of Trump, but what about his supporters? What about those that think like he thinks? What are we going to do, and this word has been used, to cleanse them? What are we going to do to deprogram them? Another word, what are we going to do to re-educate them? Some of you with your job have been to sensitivity training. That's not all bad. I know some Christians that need to be more sensitive. But there is a new level of training that could visit your workplace, telling you how to think, what you can and can't say. And there are some things that we shouldn't say. I'm talking about a removal of some of your rights. You think, well, that's not us. That's the people who breached the Capitol. No. No. You are them people. I don't want to go any further with this. Time will tell. I'll just tell you this. The church is coming into a time of testing, but also the church is possibly coming into her greatest hour of opportunity. Do you hear me? Our greatest opportunity could be before us. So, what am I, my response? I'm going to continue to worship the one true God. I'm going to continue to pray for the leaders of our nation, and I'm going to continue to stand for truth. I believe God's word. I don't have it all figured out, but I want to live by that as best I can. Amen? Stand up with me. Why don't you come, Lord, to the keyboard? When you go back to Daniel 3:18, the three Hebrew children said, you know what? Even if God doesn't deliver us, Your Majesty, they were respectful to the king. Your Majesty, we will not bow down to your God. What was number one? Worship the one true God. It all goes, standing for truth goes right back to the top. Worshiping the one true God. I want you to bow your heads with me. I hope I didn't say too much. I kind of opened the door knowing I wasn't going to go too far into the room. I'm not trying to create fear or panic. Church, when I say there's a time of testing coming, I'm not saying that lightly. I believe that. But I also believe that our greatest opportunity is before. Jesus said this to his disciples, if they hate you, it's because they first hated me. Later in the 21st verse of the 15th chapter, Jesus said this, they will treat you that way, and that way refers to some of the suffering and persecution they were going through. Jesus said, they're going to treat you that way because of my name. Carrying the name of Jesus can bring you some heat at times. Don't be foolish about it, but don't bow down to the culture, amen? If you're watching, or if you're here, and you don't have a relationship with the Lord Jesus, I want you to know that God sent His Son to die for your sin. I don't care how good a person you may be. It's not about good and bad. It's about lost and found. Good people need Jesus. You can't be so good that you don't need Him, and you can't be so bad that He won't receive you. If you don't know Jesus, this earth right here is the closest to heaven you'll ever experience. If you do know Jesus, this earth right here is the closest to hell you'll ever experience. For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever would believe in Him would not perish, but have everlasting life. Church, why don't you just maybe raise a hand, or maybe both of them? Maybe place one of your hands over your heart. If you need to receive Jesus today, just repeat these words with me. Church, say them with me. Father God, I come to You in Jesus' name. I believe in Jesus, that He came, that He lived, that He died, and that He rose again, and He lives today. I confess my sin, and I ask You to forgive me and to cleanse me. And today, I choose to follow Jesus. Amen and amen.
Thank you for listening today. For additional information or to call in a prayer need, you can reach Angleton First at 979-849-6112 or check us out on the web at angletonfirst.org. God's blessings upon you, and may His peace be yours today.